Lord, we shift gears a bit now. I pray that you would come and allow us to hold what we have just heard and not to lose it, but to have enough bandwidth in our minds to hear some other things from your word. I pray for later in the service when we come to the table that we can hold the things we have heard, but then also hear your grace in the table. We pray this. In the incredible and matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Does God care how you, how we treat our world, our environment, our land? We're starting a 5-part series on the challenge of stewardship, and we are going to look from the broadest down to ourselves over these 5 weeks. Does God care about how we steward our world? We're going to read 2 passages from the first book of the Bible. The book of Genesis will be in chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And then chapter 2, verse 15, and if you have a Bible, grab it. If you, use your phones or tablets, open them up. Genesis 1, 26 through 28, and then after a bit, we'll flip to Genesis 2. God is setting up creation in Genesis 1. He has created the world, the animals, the stars, the sky, the moon, all that sort of thing. And in verse 26, God gets to human beings. And the scripture says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over all wild animals, over all creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" Next slide. 2 words I want you to focus on. The word rule, used twice, basically saying the same thing. Giving dominion to human beings to rule over the animal life of the world. And then the second word I want you to look at is the word subdue. We are to be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, and subdue it. The word rule means probably what you think it means. It means to tread down, to subjugate, to extend power over, to prevail against, to take over. And the word subdue is similar to it. It means to make something serve you, implied, and to do so even if you have to use force to make it do that. Now it's interesting, in this verse, in verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1, the use of the word subdue implies that creation, the world, is not going to come happily under our, subduing. We are going to have to work at it. We are going to have to prevail over it. We are going to have to give it our determination. Does building a road come easily? Just think about that simple act. You want to subdue the earth in a way that you want to make travel from one place to another relatively easy. You may have to remove parts of mountains. You may have to fill in valleys. You may have to go over deep crevasses. You may have to take unstable ground and make it firm. It is not easy. It takes work. It takes determination. And that's all implied in the Word. From the very beginning of creation, God was saying it will take work, but we are to use the world and the animals for our benefit. We have been directed by God to rule and subdue the earth and all that's within it, and to make them work for us. We do not work for them. And this will not be easy. Gardening. But this is not God's final word. Too often we want to stop here. But God has something incredibly powerful to say in this next chapter, chapter 2. And so if you have your Bibles, however you turn it, turn the page to chapter 2. I'm just going to take one verse. It's very clear. Verse 2:15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden for two reasons, to work it and to care for it." Now that word work really carries the theme that we saw in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. It means to subdue. It requires energy and diligence. It means that labor is expected to till a field, to dress a vineyard, to bring in the crops, to construct a city. And this is all before the curse. This is all before you got thorns and thistles and those things that make work even more difficult. God was saying to us that it is going to take work for us to prepare the soil so that it produces the food we need to eat. But in Genesis 2, God expands the call, the challenge, the directive to human beings to not only work the garden, but to take care of it. And that word is used throughout the Bible to mean guard, protect, attend to, watch over. So we're not only to let the land work for us, but we are to guard and protect the land. And if you want to, what for me is a really powerful image of what it means to care for, let me read for you Psalm 121. Because three times in that psalm, that same word is used of God watching over us. Just listen to it. You can see where it shows up. The psalmist writes, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." The psalmist says that we have someone watching over us. so that the things of this world will not destroy us. And guess what? We are to be to our world as God is to us. We are to watch over our world that it is not destroyed. It matters to God how we take care of this material world. He has given us incredible gifts in that blue orb we live on. Land and water, environment and beauty. And we are invited by God to use it so that we can take care of ourselves, so that we can grow, so that we can multiply, so that we can fill it. But we are also asked by God, commanded by God, to take care of it so that it's there for the next generations until Jesus comes. And we don't know when that will be. I have three simple challenges for you. And really, they're considerations. I won't even make it a challenge. I'll make it a consideration. Number one, I ask you to consider your carbon footprint. Do you know what that means? It means how much fuel is needed to sustain you. And the easy way to do that is simply go on your computer and Google carbon footprint. And you'll find a whole bunch of free little things. Just fill one out. I did one last night. There's a really fine one by nature.org. Now, for me, it wasn't the final number that mattered. It was the questions they asked me about my lifestyle. Just see if God pokes or prods you if you do that. More importantly, number two, consider your manner of living. Are you tilted on that balanced scale of ruling and subduing versus caring for? Are you tilted one way or the other? I don't know. Consider your own living and try to find that balance point. Because ruling and subduing can seem to be at times to be at odds with caring and watching over. That balance point may be different for each of us. Largely thanks to my wife, we compost. It's annoying. It's hard work. Where in the world do fruit flies come from? But we have reduced our landfill trash between recycling that Greenwich does oh so easily by having those big blue bins and composting to a small bag about this size a week, and a lot of times 2 weeks. Read about landfills sometime. They're necessary, but they're not always good, depending on how much care is put into maintaining them. So just, again, consider your own manner of living and ask yourself, God, how do I strike the balance that you would have me strike so I live up to both directives? And the third really grows out of this. I really do challenge you to talk to the Lord about this. See what He might have you do. He might have you change lifestyle things. He might have you change views on certain things. I don't know. What I do know is we have one world. And if I want my children and my great-grandchildren and my great-grandchildren's children to enjoy that world, then I need to be more careful about the caring for it than I do the ruling and subduing it. Think about it. Let's pray. God, you have given us an incredible world. Just incredible. Filled with beauty, filled with, you know, diversity and color, with minerals from which we can create. And Lord, help us to live up to your design, to rule over it. It doesn't rule us, but we are also to care for it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.